This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
3 o'clock. That means two things. Ted Johnson's in the house.
Teddy.
Hey, what's up, boys?
How we doing?
I'm good. I'm
feeling better.
Not really. Oh. Not really. But I'm
stay alive, Ted. No matter where you are, I will find you.
Yes, Fitzy. Are we going to be talking about this tomorrow? Is tomorrow where we do our movie review?
No, we are doing it tomorrow. We're bumping it tomorrow so Stiz can watch.
Well, that was the plan to do it tomorrow, Wednesday.
I just went by the rundown, and Dan Ball had it on today. I am like Ron Burgundy. If he puts it in the rundown, I'm talking about it.
Very dangerous power that you've given
me. Perpetually drunk on scotch, a little misogynistic, and a fan of jazz flute.
Yeah, all of that, too. But it's 3 o'clock. That means one thing. Time for the three-point stance.
19!
It's the three-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as one, two, three.
Pasternak! A hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
WEEI Afternoons.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for today's three-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, which is brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you put it in the prompter because Andy will read it, you got to get Glassman, and you can do that by calling all sevens at 617-777-7777. As it is 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, we have three hosts, each of which will present their stance on the biggest stories in the world of sports or beyond today. Look at Andy go. Each host will get 60 seconds or thereabouts to present their opening stance, after which we will discuss each and every one. Our order today is Andy Hart, then Nick Fitzy-Stevens, and then Ted Johnson. Andy, you will lead us off. Are you ready?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
I'm intrigued by this one. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
I found something dumber than someone on the radio saying Sidney Sweeney's not that hot, and it occurred last night when I tried to meet my son for dinner, texted him, hey, you want to go grab a drink and a nap? You pick the place. Boom, I get there a few minutes early. Yes, party of two. And she goes, well, is your whole party here? And I go, no. And she goes, ooh, I'm sorry, I can't seat you. And I go, what?
They must have been packed. There must be a lot of people there.
Nope. The place was half empty. It was 8 o'clock on a Monday night. What do you think? Some restaurants close on Monday nights because no one goes out to eat on Mondays. And I just want to sit down and have a beverage while I wait for my son. Nope. I have to go sit in the waiting area. Then I start to think about the idiocy of this. All restaurants, the smallest place they have is usually two seats, correct? For two people only. So she's like, can't give me that. But I could have said, oh, actually, he just canceled. Party of one. She would have sat me at the same damn table with two chairs and two forks and two setups, and I couldn't seat until my son got there. I don't know if this is a new thing with restaurants, and I'm not complaining about, oh, if a party of eight isn't there and they only have two places to seat party of eight. No. Party of two, and the second person wasn't there. Plus, how can you get stood up on a blind date if they don't let you sit down? This is the dumbest thing I've heard. Mm. Dumb, and annoying. And by the way, if just for detail, I'm not going to give the name of the place in case they ever want to sponsor WEEI.
Rhymes with Muddruckers.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. But it is a chain, a national chain that my son
Dan,
addressed.
Can I do a follow-up question or should we wait? Let's wait.
Save that.
Do you have thoughts and questions?
I do.
Yes. Put a pin
because
in that.
Ted, lest we also forget a germane topic that Mego brought up a few weeks back when she subbed in for Andy on the show. Remember her whole kerfuffle with reservations for bar seats?
Yep. Good summer topic right there.
Yeah,
you
it's
guys.
4th of July week.
Yep. Very good. Okay.
And right. I'm legit angry, so that's the other reason.
That is nice.
If you're awake, you're legit angry.
It's fair.
Want to double down on your take about Sidney Sweeney?
No, I agree with it. And if you look in the comments, the many, many, many comments.
There was more support for you than I thought there was going to be.
People agreed with me.
Yeah, yeah.
Some.
It's a damn shame.
Bunch of hey dude wearing folks.
Damn right.
Yep.
These my people.
Those are your people out there.
I guess Sidney Sweeney will not be attending any Make America Great Again rallies.
Okay. All right. And a bunch of people who need to get their eyes checked. Fitzy, are you ready?
Ah, why not?
All right, Stiz, let's give them 60 seconds and they start right now.
Okay, so I was tempted to do something summer related as well, and it was going to be as simple as this. Sprinkles should be free at ice cream parlors. I just want to put that out there. But no, instead, I'm going to go back to sports, and I want to say this. We learned yesterday that WNBA players, as well as media and fans, all had a chance to vote on their favorite players and rank them in the WNBA. And to my surprise, and I think everyone's disbelief, Caitlin Clark, in the All-Star voting, fans ranked her as the best guard in the WNBA. The media ranked her as the third best guard in the NBA. Players ranked her as the ninth best guard in the WNBA. This on the heels of her being bullied, shoved, kicked, pushed, disrespected, and all around mistreated by a league that I believe in her second year does not deserve her services any longer. She is a gift. She is a bell cow. She is a genie's lamp. She is a pot of gold. She is a get-out-of-jail-free ticket. And for some reason, this league, because of their pettiness and their jealousy and all this BS, wants to find a way to run her out of town. You know what, Caitlin? Go to Europe. Go to China. Get paid where they'll actually respect you for your immense talents.
Good take.
This is an interesting story.
This is so stupid. This has gotten to a point now, yeah. And Ted, we can come across as jerks for telling the WNBA or women how to run their league. Yep. But I mean, come on. What are they doing, Ted?
Yeah, yep. I'm going to refrain from giving thoughts but until we get through it all. But yes,
both of you boys would. Yep.
It is a fascinating subject in my mind.
All right. Lots of thoughts that are building up. So before we get to all of those, Ted Johnson, I ask you, my friend, are you ready?
I'm ready, Daniel.
All right. Your 60 seconds begin right now.
All right. So I had this whole three-point stance that I was going to do about the Patriots activities after minicamp. But I'm going to save that for down the road because something I just saw on ESPN that struck me, and I'm curious what you guys think, if you have the same kind of a feeling when it comes to this stuff. And I'm just going to read off. I'll get to my point here eventually, but I'm just going to read off some of the people that are attending Wimbledon right now.
Okay,
so, some of the stars. Okay, and so let me just go through this list and see if anything stands out to you. David Beckham is at Wimbledon. They got a picture of Justin Rose at Wimbledon. Russell Crowe looking dapper in his suit, watching Wimbledon. Cate Blanchett is in a beautiful, stunning outfit, is at Wimbledon, as well as Jessica Alba, big fan of hers. I'm more of a Jessica Biel fan, but Jessica Alba is okay in my book. Sarah Ferguson, Jason Isaacs are at Wimbledon.
Ooh,
and guess who else is at Wimbledon?
Tom Brady.
You would think it would be Tom Brady. It is not. It is one Drake May is seen being attended. And you know what, guys? I like that. I like Drake May being there. He attended the TGL event down in Orlando a few months ago, and I love that he was at that. I want my quarterback at events like this. And so to me, this says something about Drake May. I like the fact that he is at events of this magnitude being shown and being pictured. I like that.
This doesn't feel like it marries up with the comments I read in a story written by Karen Garigian.
What does that have to do with my opinion on Drake May and being at Wimbledon?
Wait, weren't they your comments in the story I read from Karen Garigian?
Are you
out of your mind?
You have to remind me what I said to Karen Garigian.
You were talking about you wanted him to take the jump in leadership and bring players together.
Yeah, what does that have to do with attending Wimbledon? You can't be a good leader and go to Wimbledon?
He could be using this week to bring all the players together at some mountain retreat so they get
there's
closer.
There's plenty of time to get all that in.
Okay. So you like Drake May at Wimbledon. So our quarterback
is in
England.
I like Drake May at being at these big events. Like
boozing
that.
It up, betting.
Well, you know what? It shows.
Yeah.
It shows a little bit. Right. It shows confidence. It shows.
It shows class, self, elegance, and taste. There's a nice posture.
You know?
Yes, Ted.
Maybe he can meet up with Diggs, who's in France.
He is, yes, yes.
Maybe they'll have throwing sessions in Europe.
So I want my quarterback being at these kind of events every now and then, not like all the time, but just it shows me that he's. The quarterback of the NFL football team needs to be a star.
Like Joe Burrow. Didn't last year he went over there to some fashion show in Italy or something?
You know what? He
Steph
carries
Diggs was at the Met Gala earlier this year wearing Mufasa. I thought it was awesome.
You carry yourself as a star, then more likely than not, you will become that star.
It's like Trump showing up at Trump goes to all the UFC events.
Yeah.
And I think it's done a lot for his brand.
Oh,
be
his
honest.
Base. Yeah. Yeah. So, interesting.
All right. So I just
act like a star, it makes you a star.
I think there's some a little bit of truth and validity to that. Yes.
I actually kind of like that, too.
A little random. But yeah,
it was very random, and I didn't know where you were going when you kept doing the list. I'm like,
I told you,
they're all white celebrities. They're all I didn't know what tied them all together.
They all make more money than we do.
Yeah, okay, they're in movies.
Do you guys remember? I thought it was really cool. Back in the day, Brady, when he, you know, early in his career, he was always playing in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am golf tournament.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And there's a great video of him. I mean, he's hammered. He's on 16, and he's playing with Marino. And
seems
both,
like when he's at his best, by the way, but I digress.
I mean, I love
they interviewed him,
best.
And he is like blitz gonzo. Like, and he's just striping it off. And I was like, that's my quarterback. Nice. That's my quarterback right there. You know, you see Patrick Mahomes playing in that 4th of July event out there in Utah. And and that, to me, that's a good sign in your quarterback. You want him to have that confidence to go out at those events, take your picture taken, talk to the folks, you know, not hold up, you know?
Well, okay. keep that same energy when Steph Diggs is on a boat with a bunch of hot chicks doing Tootsie.
Well, no, I love that Steph Diggs is training in front of castles in France. Like, I said last week, like, sure, you can put out whatever you want as far as optics go and try to convince the public that you're putting in the work and, hey, everybody, don't you worry. My relentless work ethic will have me plenty ready for camp. He's the last guy, honestly, I'm worried about. And I like the look. As long as Drake May doesn't get too caught up in the scene, Teddy, because I'm sure you probably can attest over the two of us, getting a chance of that VIP life is pretty addictive.
He won't.
Yeah, there's a fine line.
He's married to his high school sweetheart.
Well, for 2 weeks.
His elementary school
They went from St. Lucia to apparently England,
I would be
Wimbledon.
Surprised if he gets to his head, but it's a point well taken. That's something to worry about, but I don't think that's going to be his MO.
The fine line between superstar quarterback and diva quarterback? Is that like a little gray area? You're not sure when you transition
really
from one to the
You're really a star, and you can walk around in those settings like you're the big dog if you put the work in and you have results.
Right.
Like if you don't win, if you only win 1 out of 10 games like you did last year, no one's going to care if you're at these events.
These are more like the quotes I heard in the Karen Garigian story from Ted Johnson.
You're right. That is a little bit more accurate.
And Drake went where, Andy? Where was Drake spotted?
Well, it came to our attention. Apparently, Drake May was in St. Lucia shortly after I was. All the cool people are going this summer in the Caribbean.
Just guys with good taste.
Well, he went to the resort that when we went by in the boat, they're like, yeah, that's where Jake Paul got married. That's where Muhammad Ali and Michael Jordan and Bezos stay. I was not in that resort.
You were a different cove.
We paused. We actually paused in that cove to do some snorkeling in front of that resort.
What was it like to snorkel in front of all those rich, wealthy people?
It was great. It was great. It was great snorkeling. You're a diver, right?
I am.
Yeah. The thing I didn't like there is so my Apple Watch that I got this year has like the little depth meter. As soon as you go in the water, it tells you like
how deep you are.
The temperature is, how deep you are. So I wanted to see how deep I could go and set a new record on my watch. I got down to like 12 feet and my ears started feeling funky.
Oh, yeah.
I did not like that at all. Is that bad? Like, how does that? Do you always feel that?
No, that's how it works.
It always feels that way.
Oh, you have to continually as you descend, pop your ears.
Oh,
you
know, I did not like that feeling.
You do it. You do it all the way down.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. And it starts within 8 to 10 feet. Your ears start to hurt.
I got to like 10, 11, 12, and I immediately was back up. I was like, that doesn't feel right. I'm getting the hell out of here.
You squeeze the nose. Are you? With your jaw,
okay.
Is the two ways to...
See, I learned something from Teddy. Movies, diving, he's got a lot of wealth of knowledge in that brain up there.
We're just getting started, this show. Hang on. Buckle up, boys. This is going to get a lot more interesting.
Except for Andy, we discovered yesterday with me, Andy, and Fitzy coming back from Fenway that I think that you've reached the max of the adventurousness that you have in your life.
Yes.
You're going back down the other side of the
mountain.
I
am an old man who is removing things from the list of things I like to do rather than adding to them later in life.
Right. I don't think you're going to go further than 12 feet down the next time that you go.
That seems like a fair point.
If you go at all.
I like to snorkel, but now I'm just going to stay up top on the water with the snorkel out and just looking down upon everything and not diving.
All right. Well, so we talked about what's her name? Sophie Cunningham was her name that you brought up as the enforcer in the WNBA.
Yes.
Let's talk about Caitlin Clark for a moment because I think Fitzy brings up a really interesting conversation that's come within the last couple of years as Caitlin Clark has elevated the WNBA to the point where we are having those discussions on a more regular basis on sports radio stations in Boston, Mass, or wherever else. And it's one of the more confusing things, Andy, that I think that you've seen come out of all of this is that fans are involved. You've seen revenue go up. You've seen attendance go up. But the league still isn't really about it all that much.
No, and it's weird. And the one thing, I don't believe this, but I think we need to at least ask this question because it's been pretty consistent, the pushback against Caitlin Clark players don't seem to love her. The league doesn't seem to really embrace her. Is there any chance that Caitlin Clark is kind of a dink and is tough to deal with, and like the personality, the behind the scenes, whatever's going on? Because it's hard to get everybody against you.
So I've thought of this too. I'm kind of fascinated by this dynamic.
Yes.
Caitlin Clark, why? So I always chalked it off the first year. Rookies get tested.
Okay.
All right. So, you know, you're going to be, she comes in with all that fanfare and they want to knock her down a peg. Fine. Got it. But now she's in her second year.
Right.
And it's still going on. Now what's going on? And
it's
the only thing is there something in her personality that we don't see that really gets, does she almost invite it? Does she kind of, is she an agitator that we don't see it? Is it not as blatant?
Yep.
You know, there was a game the other day where she wasn't playing. She's missed a lot of games because of injury, where she was yelling at the ref for what she thought was a bad call.
Yep.
And the opponent on the other team was yelling back at her. Does she get – is her personality such that we don't see it, that the players see that really irritates them? I don't think it's fair. I think it's amazing. I mean, she was out. She's been out for her injury. Mm-hmm. And the ratings went down 53%.
Oh, absolutely.
Are you kidding me? The WNBA just announced that they're expanding three new teams, Cleveland, Detroit, and Philadelphia. That's the Caitlin Clark effect. Yet the women, in that league do not accept her. It is mind-blowing, Fitzy.
It's not the Cheryl Swoops effect. It's not the Diana Taurasi effect. It's not yet the Paige Beckers effect, or any of these other gals that have been significant contributors or that are part of the WNBA's supposedly bright future. I mean, and we're all kind of, you know, dancing around the main topic as well of the fact that, you know, into this league comes Lady Larry Bird, and they think that she thinks that she's entitled, and it's a whole big mess. It is a humongous, she's basically Steph Curry to the WNBA. And instead of getting on her coattails or hopping on her back and riding it to rating success and letting her be the trailblazer for the league that she needs to be, because I hate to tell you, everyone, no one else is selling out the Mohegan Sun Arena, including your own team, even if Jay-Z was the halftime show. Sorry, it's not happening. But Caitlin Clark is a meal ticket, and they continue to do everything they do. I have to wonder, and no matter how big a pain in the ass she might be on the court, off the court, in marketing and beyond, how long she goes until she has a breaking point and says, this sucks, I'm out of here.
So we live in a world where the star always gets the benefit of the doubt, right? The quarterback, the best player, at almost every level, right? Like, you know, it's
more
cliche, you know,
well,
schools.
When you're broke like the WNBA, you kind of need to.
Teachers bend over backwards to make sure the star player is on the field, even though if they don't really like it. It's the way it's done. And now suddenly it feels like nobody is bending over backwards for Caitlin Clark. And there has to be a part of the iceberg that we don't know beneath the surface.
Part of it is, I think there's a lot of women that are veterans, great players that have been in the NBA WNBA for a long time, and no one was paying attention. And now all of a sudden, this player who's come in is validating them. And I think maybe some of the older veterans, I could see that being to some degree irritating, but not to the point in which you personally go after them in games. You try to hurt them. You dismiss. Like, it's like I can get it. See, I understand a little bit of jealousy, but it just doesn't make sense that these girls don't understand that Caitlin Clark helps their bottom line.
Right, rising tide.
It's amazing. She's going to be the reason that the last person on the bench on XYZ team makes more money next year, and the year after.
And the other aspect of it is she's lived up to the hype. It's one thing if you find out, like, because remember there was one of the famous veterans said, like, oh, she was playing with girls, now she's going to be playing with women. And, like, no, she showed up and she was setting records for triple-doubles and most in a rookie season and all these things. Like, she lived up to the hype. It's not like she's a paper champion. She's a great basketball player who also happens to capture the interest. And I know you can't have the Caitlin Clark discussion without race being involved. It just is throughout this country. It's a part of it, the Angel Reese rivalry, and there's a racial tone and level to that. But I just look at it very simply. She's the best women's basketball player to enter the WNBA in recent years, lived up to the hype, can make everybody more money, can get more eyeballs on the league, and yet, Fitzy, No one seems to support her, and the league doesn't even seem to do it. The refs aren't on her side. It's not like she's getting the Jordan rules. It's not like she's getting the league paying her more money or doing anything there. So there has to be something in the story that we don't know, and sooner or later it will absolutely come out. But up next here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to stick with basketball, but not necessarily superstar household names, because the Celtics added a big. His name is Luke Garza, and that Luka Garza, sorry, I've learned it so well. It's Luka Garza. That and a couple bucks will buy you a candy bar at the local store. We'll talk Celtics additions. Finally, we have additions to talk about. We'll see how excited we are for the Celtics additions. That's up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
I think this would qualify as my first Susan Vega. That's what it said on the thing. I walked in there. Okay, a little behind
the
scenes.
No, that's not true, is it?
It's Suzanne Vega, yeah.
Oh, my bad.
I walked in there and I said, isn't there a famous song about my name is Luca? And Stiz, Mr. Music's like, I've never heard of it. And I was like, Google it. There is.
Right.
And the first line is, my name is Luca. I remember this.
Uncalled for.
Good job.
This is my first deep poll rejoin.
Thank God, too.
It was a long road to get to Luca Garza, who is the Celtics' newest big man. Formerly of the Minnesota Timberwolves, and our boy Dan Ball tells me that the more Luka plays, the better he gets, which is good, because when I look at the Celtics' big men post Kristaps Porzingis, post Luke Kornet, and probably post Al Horford, my name is Luka could be their starting big man. And I'm not sure how good that's going to work out. He's apparently a bit of a defensive liability. Our boy Brian Ferzocco. Yeah.
He'll fit in alongside Simons and everyone else.
Well, Brian Ferzocco just said, you think Anthony Simons doesn't play defense? Wait till you see this guy.
Well, what the hell is the point of a big guy if he doesn't play defense and he's not an offensive threat?
Yeah, that's a fair question. And we do naturally think that because you're tall, you should be a defensive presence, a rim protector. We saw that second-to-last game they played. You know, I like to call it the JB game because he had 12 assists, but that was also when Luke Kornet went off, right? Didn't he have like 7 blocks? He was like double. He was like doing the right hand and the left hand block.
He made himself literally $41 million with like the Luke Kornet game.
And I don't begrudge him.
He had a great year.
He did.
But that was the cherry on top of the Sunday. To me,
just real quick on the Luke Kornet. Look, they're going to miss him. I love what he was turning into be, the player he was turning into be. And San Antonio, that's such a San Antonio Spurs move right there.
You like
that's
that?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I love that. Dude, he's a very skilled basketball player, Luke. Make fun of him all you want.
Are you out of your mind?
Go ahead, Ted. Call me out. But I would love him to be my backup center anytime.
He's a good player on a good team. I agree with that.
But if Popovich wants him, you know that tells the Celtics, like, because Brad Stevens worships at the altar of Pop, Andy, you know that basically says, like, they see in him what we see in him. Damn it, they just had more money available.
You know what he does for a lot of big men don't want to do? He'll set screens constantly. He's a great passer. He knows spacing. He gets the hell out of the way.
Well, Tatum loved him. They fell in love with the pick and roll lobs late in the year.
Yeah, a lot of big men don't want to do that.
Yeah, no.
Oh, man, when they would play inside and pass the basketball, and also it's tough to also hate on this element, guys. He really is like an ultimate success story. Guy goes from like the G League to the bench to world champion to now getting paid tens of millions of dollars to play basketball in one of the top markets. Like, you can't hate on that.
No, you can't hate on that. But I would say that's the trend nowadays. These guys coming into the NBA are 19, 20 years old. They play 1 year of college, and they need 3 years of development in the G League. And then you hear about them.
I actually think I'm not as big a Luke Kornet fan as you are. I think we're probably going to forget a little bit about Luke Kornet in a while. And I think
not by watching Luke Garza.
We'll see.
In my opinion.
the genius that is Brad Stevens, right? This is the guy. He was ready like this. As soon as Luke Kornet was gone, this is the guy he had decided was the next guy I want. Luka. He replaced a Luke with a Luka. And we've been talking about this. Nobody thought Derek White was as good as he is. And Brad Stevens said, Derek White's my guy.
Yeah.
And he brings him in here. Maybe. Am I being overly optimistic here? Because I'll tell you what is overly optimistic, Dan Ball. I just got to the second line of the rundown under the stats you put for Luka Garza. Career points per minute in NBA playoff history. Luka Garza, 0.93.
I love it.
Second, Michael Jordan, 0.80. Third, LeBron James, 0.69. So he's the greatest scorer in the history of the postseason.
In the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously.
Well done, Dan Bolitar.
Can I double down on that?
Sure.
Luka Garza was named the Sporting News Player of the Year for the second year in a row in college in 2021, becoming the first repeat winner since Michael Jordan in 1983 and 1984. Go.
Wow, you are such a Belichickian move, and that's how Brad Stevens operates when he's doing his best work. So this could be an attempt, Andy, at low cost, considering that they're inching closer and closer to said second apron, and they don't want to go there. To this could be one of those diamond in the rough efforts.
Could be.
I mean, you know, that and the fact that they got the best passing big man in the draft, Ted, in Amari Williams, like, there could be some upside with the big dudes this year.
Could be, or it might not go very well. I will say, though, you like Luke Kornet. A lot of people did, especially late in the year when they were getting the lobs.
He's better than Luka Garza.
I would add this to the – a lot of guys that fans really liked are no longer members of the Boston Celtics. Jrue Holiday, very popular on and off the court. Kristaps Porzingis might have been the most popular Celtic for a portion of time here. And I do think Luke Kornet had a kind of – cult, passionate,
no doubt,
following.
He was so awkwardly funny.
Yes. Yeah. And
he was doing the karaoke and everything. Yeah. Like, he was, he's a personality.
Little funny celebrations after you make a good play.
And not that that matters. I mean, if you go win 55 games, everybody will be happy you won 55 games. But I will, if you win 41 games and you're less likable, that'll all be wrapped
both
up.
Of the stars on this team, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, honestly, on the court, have zero personality. Zero. So that's anybody true. That stands out, other, you know, that's not them, it has personality that is good, and we, you know, and we like their game, they're going to be stars in this town.
Speaking of Jaylen Brown, I'm starting to get worried for my guy.
You're unbelievable. I heard you driving in, I'm like, oh, they're putting too much on his broad shoulders. Dude, give me a break.
Wait, hold on.
This.
Why? Hold on.
If you're
Let me just
number
say straight,
one,
straight.
If you're
Straight
number
out,
one it, on a team, go. you need all these people to carry you, bro?
Well, I don't know. Man. Jason Tatum needed Jaylen Brown to carry him to a title.
Give me a break. They came in together pretty much. Him,
but you don't believe that they're sort of because we've talked about, Ted, that we're going to get an answer on JB.
Disrespect? Are they disrespecting JB?
No,
is that what you're saying?
They're making his job really tough. They're tearing the team down around
they
him.
They don't like
oh,
him.
No.
They're putting too much work on Jaylen Brown.
I don't think that's it, and you're putting a tone to that I did not insinuate. I'm just saying people like you may look at failures of the Boston Celtics next year and say it's all on Jaylen Brown, and I'll say, wait a minute, you got rid of Al Horford, Kristaps
Porzingis. So it's already, so we can't even judge Jaylen Brown next year. You've already determined, no matter what, it's not Jaylen Brown's fault.
That's fair. That's 100%
fair. They're tearing the team down around him and expecting him to carry it.
We already lost our best player. Now you want Jaylen Brown to step up. Okay, fine. I'm sure he could do it. But now you've taken away a lot of the other weapons that he had. So, you have a point.
But it's a reset year, Stiz. Thank you, Stiz. This is the year the team needs to recalibrate and figure who the next level of, or the next layer, I should say, of contributors to surround the team. Like, you can't just win with two max contract, two star players. They tried doing that for the longest time and kept running into the Eastern Conference Finals wall. They need more. This is the kind of year you need to reset. And I actually want to revisit the idea that on this program, people keep bandying about so freely. They're like, oh, this is a 3 or 4 seed for sure. You guys sure about that?
I'm no longer
right now?
Sure about,
you sure about that.
I mean, nobody's knows, but I mean, that's the odds got them right now at the fourth best team in the East.
And I still think they're going to be a good team. But Stiz, you and I may be the voices of reason on this show.
Oh, dear Lord.
You can.
Oh, the show is doomed then.
Why even watch next year? If it's.
Oh, no. It's going to be interesting. No.
Why?
I actually think the opposite.
You've
I'll tell you
made
what.
Excuses for it, no matter what.
Well, because I know you are going to. Whenever it goes wrong, people are going to pile on JB when the totality
exactly.
of the team is
changed.
Exactly.
And Nick just called it a reset year. And so that's what I was going to say. So if next year doesn't go well and Jaylen Brown isn't able to be Superman and literally be the one and only guy that gets it done, just remember that you're the same guy that was like, well, it's a reset year.
Now,
and not Jaylen Brown sucks. Blah, blah, blah.
I also have to be fair because I will admit that if the roles were reversed and JB was out for the year and Jason Tatum was still in his spot as a number one and they took away Jrue Holiday and they took away Al Horford, and I would say, oh, I thought you were Jason Tatum. I thought you were the best basketball player in the world.
So,
what's the matter?
Go.
You couldn't handle the situation?
Amazing. How you just pretty much argue against yourself all the time.
I like to paint the entire picture here on WEEI Afternoons. Be objective. Up next, we need to talk about my guy, JB, because I posted a poll yesterday. Ted, you know I like to put polls on Twitter and get a sort of temperature of the fan base. And yesterday's was about all these rumors that continue that JB could still maybe be traded. Are there still offers out there, Sacramento Kings and others? So we'll talk about JB's future leading the Boston Celtics or another team and how fans would react if there was a trade for, say, I don't know, you ever heard of Giannis? A little Giannis JB talk next year on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Oh, Giannis isn't happy. What are we going
to
do?
I feel like Giannis is never happy. He's got a little Andy Hart to him.
After he won his... Is that a little bit?
Maybe that's why you hate him so much.
Perpetual state of just miserable. Yeah.
I get you guys confused for each other all the time.
Yeah.
Easy to, huh?
Yes.
I'm in control. But do you believe that he's not happy? Because, like, there's two things. There's only two ways for me to read this, the Dame Lillard situation. Either you ran it by Giannis because he's your MVP player and you're like, here's the plan. We do this. We can do this. Bring in Miles Turner. Whatever. Or you didn't run it by Giannis because you might be shipping his ass out of town next and you're in a total rebuild mode in Milwaukee.
Yeah, perhaps.
Right? One or the other.
I don't know. These NBA stars, I think they feel they are entitled to almost be the key decision makers of these organizations. I think it's the player empowerment has gone way too far to me to the player side in the NBA. At first, I used to respect it and like it. I thought, this is awesome. But now it's almost gotten to be too much. Hey, Giannis, can I do this before?
I'm the GM, but I have to ask you.
Is it okay if I make this trade? Yeah,
that's the reality.
I know.
They have all the power with that CBA.
Yeah,
as you continue to see, like SGA, you don't think his power went up when he signed a $71 million a year extension today? Oh, like, man. Sam Presti's like, oh, that's
yeah. But is Giannis not happy that they got Miles Turner over freaking Lopez? Me and Frazoco were talking about this. Give me Miles Turner over Brooke Lopez any day of the week.
I know it's not, you know, a piece that fits in their current reality, but if you told me they let go of Kristaps Porzingis but replaced him with Miles Turner,
forget it.
I would have been all in.
Why
on
weren't
the Celtics?
Celtics in on that?
I just money. He got $27 million, and you're trying to stay under the apron and that whole thing.
Love his game.
Yeah, me too. I have wanted him to be a Celtic for probably 8 years, 10 years, something like that. But he is not. JB is currently a Celtic, but the trade rumors won't go away. We even had the Sacramento Kings as like an actual name team that might be interested. And would Sabonis be in the deal? Would it be a bunch of first round picks? What would it be? So as part of that, and I've heard a lot of people recently just say Giannis, you know, could the Celtics trade Jaylen Brown to the Bucks for Giannis? Would you want Giannis? But whatever, the Jaylen Brown trade rumors persisted. So yesterday, for the show poll I did at Jumbo Heart and at WEEI Afternoons, Celtics fans, what would your reaction be to a potential Jaylen Brown trade, assuming a relatively fair market return? Because obviously I don't know what the exact deal would be, first-round picks, players. And the options I put were happy, meh, or pissed. And well over 1,000 people voted, and happy was 18%. So only, I don't know what you mean by that. We'll talk about that in a minute, put a pin in it. Meh response got 31%, and 51% of Celtics fans would be pissed if they traded Jaylen Brown. Ted Johnson, a lot of faces, a lot of noise. What's your reaction?
I mean, that's basically 49% of people that would be happy or meh.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big number. Like,
you,
that
you
is
spun that in a direction I don't like.
Are you kidding me? Like, if you think you being a Jaylen Brown fan, that's all of a sudden validates your fandom form, you're out of your mind. That's unbelievable that 50% are happy or meh with the fact that JB would be traded for equal value. I don't think he resonates like even close to what Jason Tatum does here.
82% would be upset to see him go, or not happy to see him go, if you mix the numbers a different way, because the meh could be clamped into the pissed. So it all depends how you...
Meh is indifferent. Nothing's worse than... indifference is not good.
No, indifference is generally not good, especially not in this business when we're talking about teams. When fans become indifferent about teams, that is bad for...
Dude, I'd be curious what that poll was if it was Jason Tatum instead of Jaylen Brown. What would the response be?
Ooh.
Yeah. Now,
we don't even come close to being the same results. Well,
but would people take into account the relatively fair market value? Because in theory, Jason Tatum would bring back more, right? He's thought of as a better player. He's 4 years in a row all NBA. So, you know, that would have to be taken into account there. But I thought it was interesting that 51% would be pissed if you traded Jaylen Brown. And I also think that might just be a 1 year thing, because people have decided what we've talked about. Jaylen Brown is going to be the centerpiece of the Celtics. I'm going to watch. I'm going to get an answer on how good Jaylen Brown is. I think they've sort of already bought into the narrative of the season and what the story of this season is going to be. And now you change all that, and what do you get in return? Fitzy, would you trade Jaylen Brown for Giannis?
In a heartbeat. That trade, already, before you tried to spell out Antetokounmpo, I would take him. I'd take his brother. I would take all the rest of everything else Milwaukee wants to unload. Yes. Andy, Jaylen Brown on any given night can be your complete all-around superstar player. Giannis is a dominant force. That is, like, he is literally just like a gravitational pull around which an entire team, a game plan needs to be dedicated toward. Like, he is it. I'm not going to say him because I can't stand that expression, but he is it. I'd do it. And I would do the Sabonis trade if there were some complimentary players or some picks thrown in as well, because I happen to love Sabonis' game as well.
Sabonis,
20 points a night, 14 rebounds, hell yeah.
Huh?
That's from the Kings. I have no
interest in Sabonis.
Why,
is that being reported?
That he could be a part of a package that could be traded from Sacramento for Jaylen Brown.
I'm a huge fan of the Sabonis game. But let me ask you this. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
So you're all in on Giannis. Are you all in on Giannis and JT? Or Giannis and JB?
Oh, Giannis and JT would be awesome. Oh,
you think that would work? You think that's a better fit than JB?
I do. Because I just don't know what JB's fit is, Ted. Like, I know he can be a lot of different things to your team any given night, but I know what Jason Tatum's fit is and how his style of play works. And I just feel like maybe, just maybe, they would be able to finesse an inside-out game between the two of them that would be veritably unstoppable. It didn't work with Dame Lillard, and it should have. And I would love to get to the bottom of that, but I think that would be amazing.
I think it would be one of the worst pairings in the history of NBA superstardom duos.
I think, I'd love to find out.
I think Giannis wants to play at 100 miles an hour downhill, get to the rim, and Jason Tatum's walking the ball up. I think it would, unless you did almost...
One shoots a lot of threes, one
none.
Is scared to death of shooting a three.
Unless you broke it up and played like, and almost didn't play him on the court a lot together, and you had like two different styles, offenses, whatever, I don't think it would fit. I think there's a better chance actually JB and Giannis would work together. I think they both would love to run and gun and dunk and be aggressive and be physical offensively.
I agree.
So, but I also don't really like Giannis, and I don't really want to see him as a member of my Boston Celtics. And you know why, in part, because I don't want to see JB sent out the door. And I am what I just talked about. I have sold myself on, I'm going to get to find out this year how good JB is. Regardless of what's going on around him, he is the centerpiece of the show that is the Boston Celtics this year. And I think, to some degree, Brad Stevens has said that. I mean, he referenced a lot of times, even the first press conference we heard right after the season, JT and JB are still our pillars, whatever. And then more recently, a lot of teams would like to have this core, and he said JB with Peyton Pritchard and Derek White.
So just to be clear, JB is still – you still can learn from him. No. Even though they're getting rid of good players and they're putting more pressure on him, you will still be able to find out something about him, even with JT off the court, regardless of the quality of teammates he has around him.
Yes, because one of the maybe the worst-case scenario from a fan perspective for the team as a whole is they might not win a lot of games. Let's say they're a 37-win team. But in that scenario, my guess is JB has a career high in points because he's just the guy trying to score every night, and he'll have the games where he puts up 35 or 40.
I have no problem with that as long as he's not taking 22 shots a night to do it.
Yeah, I don't think he will. I think you're good. But you know, so I may get a season where the product as the team is less entertaining, but JB fluffs up his numbers and puts up numbers that make him more of a second-team All-NBA player. Oh, he did it by himself up in Boston this year. He averaged 29.7 points per game without Tatum, without Porzingis, whatever. I think that's a possibility. Although I will say I do legitimately wonder if they're trying to put too much on him. And maybe that end of the Knicks series was sort of a dichotomy of what next year is going to be. One game really good, and he was able to shoulder the load. The next game, he tried to shoulder too much of the load, couldn't do it, and it was a bit of a debacle. And that could be the Celtics 2025-26 season.
That's where I'm leaning.
JB is still a Celtic, and I'm going to enjoy that as long as I can. Up next, we are coming towards football season. The Patriots open training camp, 3 weeks from now, basically, July 23rd. We said it yesterday. From now on, WEEI Afternoons, football at 4. 4 o'clock football, however you want the alliteration to go. We will every day try to give you a little nugget, note, debate, list, whatever it may be. Today, we ask a simple question. Which person not named Drake May or Mike Vrabel faces the most pressure for the 2025 New England Patriots? We'll answer that as a group up next here on WEEI Afternoons.